SBS Radio.
The annual update on the implementation of the roadmap to close the gap for vision has just been released. And this year, it appears 2/3 of the roadmap recommendations are now fully implemented. With me to discuss the latest update on NITV Radio is Professor Hugh Taylor, the Harold Mitchell Professor of Indigenous Eye Health at the University of Melbourne. Professor Taylor, despite all this great work that's been going on, achieving the goal of eliminating avoidable vision loss and blindness by 2025 is still going to require a whole lot more work.
Yes, well, we've made some good progress. I mean, I think over the last, because it's 10 years ago that we first released the report on the implementation of the recommendations of the roadmap. And since that time, there actually has been some very significant improvements. You know, improvements in the number of people having eye exams, particularly the number of people with diabetes having eye exams, further improvements with the number of people having cataract surgery and waiting times and things like that. Trachoma rates have dropped. But there's still more to do. So the glass is no longer empty, but it's not yet full. So that we've now had the government commitment 2 years ago to end avoidable blindness, to really fully implement the services and develop the First Nations ownership and leadership of the coordination of eye care.
So there's still inequity with longer cataract surgery waiting lists for Aboriginal people than non-Aboriginal people. Why is there that inequity in the waiting list?
A lot of it, the hospitals just, are not doing a good job. But there are some shining examples. One example is the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, where they've set up an eye clinic at VARS, the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service, and then they're examining and seeing patients in the ATCHO, and then if they do need referral for surgery, they get fast tracked. So they're identified as being Indigenous people, and they're put on priority in getting terrific service. But so often, they're left sitting waiting on a list, or if they they're suddenly told you've got surgery this week, and they can't come, so it gets put off. And there just seems to be a whole lot of, whether it's institutional racism by design or by default, but the waiting lists are just totally unacceptable in many of the public hospital areas.
And the report also shows some inequities in terms of contagious bacterial infections of the eye, particularly within the most vulnerable and the youth.
That problem is trachoma,
yeah.
Which is this eye infection that ultimately leads to blindness in adults or older people. But we see it in the communities where the hygiene is poor and the children have the dirty faces and the eye discharges on their face. So they're just swapping it back and forth amongst children. So there's been a lot of work. We've reduced the rates of trachoma from 21% in 2008 down to about 4.5%. But there's still more work we need to do. We need adequate housing with proper washing facilities. And sort of course, overcrowded houses just make everything worse. And our houses need prompt repair and maintenance. But we need good hygiene as well. And this not only protects against trachoma, but will also protect against things like otitis media and skin infection and scabies and rheumatic heart disease and kidney disease. So a whole lot of things. So there's been a real push on trying to improve the hygiene of these children in these remote communities.
Yeah. And it shows that there are some hotspots, 54 hotspots. What's the definition of these hotspots and what are they?
These are communities where more than 20% of the children have trachoma. Now, sometimes they're little communities, so it might be 2 children out of 8. But in other communities, it might be more than 20% of 60 or 80 children of that age group. And so those are the areas where we really need to focus to make sure that if the toilets break or the drains get blocked, that they get repaired quickly. So you need that prompt repair and maintenance in those houses so that the washing facilities keep working, and combine that with the health promotion messages about the importance of good hygiene and keeping clean.
improvements couldn't be done without the active participation of the communities themselves and Aboriginal community control held organisations.
The involvement of the ATSOs and the community is absolutely imperative. I mean, both in Trachoma area to help make sure and help the young parents to and help make sure we keep the kids' faces clean. But for the general provision of eye care, the ATSOs are actually the first step, the ground level of it. They are the most important driver. And so there's more work needed to be done to help train the health workers in the ATSOs and to provide adequate funding for case management so people who do need treatment actually get seen and referred to treat it. And we really try to build that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander ownership and leadership of the eye health systems.
You say you're on track to actually closing this gap by 2025, but you cannot do this alone. What do you see would be the involvement of other stakeholders like the government in pushing forward?
The vision sector, all those working in eye care, under Vision 2020 Australia, at the request of Ken Wyatt, produced a plan called Strong Eyes, Strong Communities, working closely with NATSO in developing that plan. And that went to COAG in 2019, who adopted it and set as a priority the end of avoidable blindness by 2025. And that was also listed in the long-term national health plan in 2019. But we are still waiting for the government to live up to that commitment. We're still waiting for an implementation plan or a plan of action to lead to that ending of avoidable blindness, because clearly what we need is more government funding to support training in ATSOs, that local case management and regional organisation, and to make sure that there are enough outreach services, visiting services of optometrists and ophthalmologists so that the people can actually get the eye care that they need.
Yeah, money is always the Achilles
heel. But it's also building that community ownership and leadership as well. And that also needs to be funded and facilitated with some funds too.
Yeah. And now, before I let you go, the takeaway message?
The take-home message is everybody with diabetes needs to have an eye exam every year. Everybody with diabetes needs to have an eye exam every year, because everybody with diabetes is at risk of going blind, but if something like 98% of that blindness can be prevented by timely diagnosis and treatment. So that's really important.
That's a very important number that we have to remember. 98% can be treated and it is preventable. So
that's right, with early detection. So that's why everybody with diabetes, even if they think their eyes are fine, they still need to make sure. And we've got, the government has put out these retinal cameras to almost 160 medical services across the whole country. And there's a Medicare rebate to pay for having these retinal photographs done. So anybody with diabetes should be getting these their eye examination or these retinal photographs taken once a year.
Professor Hugh Taylor, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
It's my real pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.